The topic for today, I would like to talk to you about is Gideon called as a deliverer. Gideon in Hebrew is a tree feller, a warrior. He was the son of Joash, the Abiezerite of the tribe of Manasseh. Reside at Ophrah in Gilead beyond the Jordan. When the Israelites came out of slavery, came out of Egypt, and journeyed for 40 years across the deserts to the promised land, to Canaan, there came a time of judges. Figuratively speaking, it was a God's kingdom. God was the king of Israelites. He gave them judges who acted as agents of the divine will. The Israelites lived in peace, well serving and loving God. If only the Israelites were faithful to God and observed his laws, God would bless them in everything. But we know what happened. But in time, the Israelites went away from God. They forgot God and worshipped other idols. And in Judges chapter 2 and verses 11 to 15, we read, "Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baal. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who have brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him, and also in his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to the raiders and plundered them. He sold them into the enemies around them, who they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them. Then to defeat them, just as he swore to them, they were in great distress. God have punished his people by sending the neighboring nation to fight and rule over them. And Gideon lived in a very turbulent time of Israel's history. Because of their unfaithfulness to God, the Israelites were not enjoying the fruits of the labor. For 7 years, the neighboring pagan nations, especially the Midianites, were allied with Amalek and the sons of the east of Jordan. Now it was a very fertile land, and repeatedly it was confiscating much of the product of the land. In Judges chapter 6 and verses 1 to 6, we are told that their power pressed off severely upon Israel, that they made for themselves the dens in which, in the mountains and the caves in the strongholds, their allies encamped in the territory, destroyed the crops as far as Gaza, and left no subsistence in Israel, as well as no sheep or donkey. They came like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and the camels." In chapter 6, we read that the Midian so improvised the Israelites that they cried to the Lord for help. The Lord has listened to the cry. And as a result, he sends his angel to Gideon. To avoid being spotted by Midianites, Gideon was threshing grain, not outside, but in the winepress. The angel appeared to him, saying, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But, sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." Brethren, do we not hear similar words from the people around us today? Why doesn't God put the stop to all that's happening in this world? Stop the wars. Stop all the sufferings, deaths in the last couple of years. Put a stop to the pandemic, that the people wouldn't suffer or die. Why is a God watching it all? This being silent, allowing all this to happen. God is allowing for all these sufferings and misery, which is similar to what happened to the Israel being disobedient to God. As a result of this disobedience, sin entered into this world, degradation and worship of false gods. It is with us till today, and for this reason God is silent, waiting for mankind to go through the testing and patiently waiting for man to come back to him and to serve him. The Lord tells Gideon to go in the strength you have, save Israel out of Midian's hand. "But Lord, how can I serve Israel? Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest," in other words, the poorest in Manasseh, "and I am the least in my family. Is it possible that I, the Lord, has made a mistake in the selection? Possibly more capable person could be selected." The Lord told Gideon that, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." The Lord works in very mysterious ways. And if we read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 and onwards. "Brothers, think not what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by standards. You were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God thinks of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world, and he despised things and the things that are not, so that no one might boast before him." How gracious is this arrangement, which opens the way to the highest divine favor for the humblest who hears the voice of the Lord and responds to humanely in humility and zeal. Let the ignoble then, who have tasted the Lord's grace, be encouraged to trust that, even through ignoble by the nature, grace of the Lord is able to work in them such a transformation of character that they might be in heart and leads the office of God's dear Son, and thus be prepared for the finishing touches of the promised change in the first resurrection. When the angel visited Gideon, Gideon, as a young man, was not sure who had the conversation with. He probably thought that he was an honorable guest. So he asked for a sign that, "Are you really talking to me?" Gideon hurried home and roasted a young goat and baked some unleavened bread. He prepared a meal. And in verse 20, the angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on the rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched meat and the unleavened bread. Fire fled out from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. Only then Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord. "O sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is at peace." In Psalms chapter 34 and verse 7, we read, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Brethren, here we have another illustration of the fact that we are surrounded by the spirit beings, invisible to our natural eyes. And that's because the Lord would have the members of the house of sons walk by faith and not by sight, as we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. The word angel might stand for an agency or power. Here in the text, however, it would seem that the word angel refers to a spirit being. Remember, our Lord said, before he ascended to heaven, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Our Lord is the chief messenger or angel of Jehovah. He has surely been the chief messenger of the gospel church. Through the angels and the other agencies, God is governing the world and especially caring for his own people through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of all the divine spiritual powers and has charge of all the Jehovah's affairs. And he delivers them. And we know in the olden times, the Lord's children sometimes were delivered miraculously. Some were delivered from prison, others were not. Some were delivered from the sword, and others were not. We should accept the will of God, whatever it might be. The Lord will deliver each in the way that will bring the largest measure of his blessing. In the days of the apostles, we know Peter was delivered from prison by an angel of the Lord, and who appeared to him as a man. Yes, the same night, following the visit of the angel, the Lord made a further revelation to Gideon. The Lord puts Gideon to the test. by instructing him to pull down his father's idols and altar, which were in the property, and cut down the sacred pole alongside Golbaal. And to build a proper altar to the Lord God, and then to offer his father's young bull of 7 years upon it, using as firewood the sacred pole. Gideon did all that with a caution. During that night time, with the help of his 10 servants, when the men of the city woke up in the morning and learned that Gideon was responsible for that, what was happening, they demanded that the father Joash need to bring his son to justice with a punishment of death for breaking down Baal's altar and cutting down the Asherah pole beside it. Joash did not deliver up his son to them, but in defense he spoke to the crowds, "Does Baal need to your help? What an insult to God. You are the ones who should die for insulting Baal. If Baal is really God, let him take care of himself and destroy the one who broke apart the altar." And we know that from then on, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, meaning let Baal take care of himself. Let Baal bring changes. After this, when the Midianites, together with the Amalekites, saw that they were in danger, invaded Israel and encamped in the valley of Jerusalem. Midianites, who were they? Midian appears in connection with Abraham. Midian is the fourth son of Abraham, from third wife of Keturah, and evidently one of those who sent away into the country with gifts by Abraham during his lifetime, as it mentions in Genesis chapter 25 and verses 1 and 2. Amalekites were the descendants of the son Amalek, the son of Esau, Genesis chapter 36 and verses 12 and 16. Amalekites were bitter foes of Israel, sometimes alone and sometimes in conjunction with the other tribes. The first attack was made in the time of distress at Rephidim, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 8. Joshua fought the Amalekites, and as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But when he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. As we know, and the history acknowledges it, that at the close, relatives, instead of working and doing good to each other, helping each other, often have wars between themselves. This has been like that from the beginning of the human history until now. Most conflicts are amongst close friends and families. And not only friends and families, but countries also. As we can see, all this around the world, what is happening. Gideon delivered the Israelites from the hands of Midianites. This nicely pictures our Lord Jesus Christ, Who is the great deliverer of all mankind? Who will deliver humanity from the reign of sin and death? Midianites and the Amalekites are the enemies of all mankind, and the enemies with them are the world, flesh, and the devil. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, our Lord is urging his followers to our warfare and said, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." The oppression of Midianites with the Israelites lasted 7 years. 7 is used frequently in the scriptures to signify completeness. At times it has reference to bringing a work toward completion. In this occupation, we have a period of a time from the fall, disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, till full establishment of the kingdom here on earth. And as a result of Adam's sin, all born under the condemnation to death. And in Romans chapter 5 and verses 12 and 17, we are told, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death come to all men, because they all have sinned." Satan exercises great influence on men as a ruler of the world. He controls most of the people in the world, causing them sufferings and leading them into physical and mental destruction. Apostle Paul describes this situation in Romans chapter 8 from verses 18 to 22. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparison with the glory that will be revealed to us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the Son of God to be revealed. The creation is subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected in whose that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious of the children of God. We know that the whole world creation has been groaning as in the pains of the childbirth right up to the present time. We are told that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and similar thing happened to our Lord. The Holy Spirit had come upon the Lord Jesus after his consecration at Jordan. Then he blew the trumpet, summoning the Abazites to follow him. Then he sent the messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, so that two went up to meet them. Blowing a trumpet by Gideon could picture the proclaim of the gospel about the kingdom of God by Jesus Christ. Happiness will be with the living day under the ruling of Christ, head and body. You will be out and death will be no more. Neither will mourning or outcry nor pain be any more, The former things have passed away. It's in the Gospel in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is nearer. Repent and believe the good news. The first work of Jesus was that the disciples, so-called, select the 12 out of them. In the picture, we first descendants of Abizarites. Abizari was the son of Manasseh and a grandson of Joseph. Abizar means father of help. The descendants of Abizar represent the apostles of Jesus, the chosen by God, which Jesus had during the earthly ministry. They all have hope in God and in return receive help. Gideon messengers then were sent to Manasseh and could represent the Jewish nation. Similar, Jesus' ministry was restricted only to this nation, as we read in John chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to allow who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become his children of God. Jesus restricted the apostles to go amongst other nations. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5 to 7, we read, the 12 were sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of Samaritans, but to the lost sheep of Israel. As you preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is nearer. The next instructions for the messengers was to notify the descendants of Israel about forthcoming freedom to the Israelites from the Midianites. Other descendants could represent the other countries. Other nations could be the countries that Jesus sent his apostles after his resurrection. As we read in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. Therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of this age. This is the way the gospel of Jesus has spread from Jerusalem to the rest of the countries in the world. This is how the truth has come to us, and we are so thankful to this, to our Heavenly Father, that through this we can become the followers of his Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. Brethren, living at the end of the gospel age, we need to keep our eyes directed on that nation, the nation of Israel. 19 centuries passed before they became a nation. They fought many wars, and the eyes of the whole world have been directed to that very small country. Our Lord and Apostle Paul tells us about the last days, and to take a lesson from this very country, Israel. Just like Gideon was convinced when he asked for a sign from God, he asked that the Jew should fall on the fleece spread upon fresh floor where the ground around should be dry. And in the morning, the fleece was so wet that Gideon wrung out a bowl of water out of it. But the next night, the wonder was reversed. The soil being wet and the fleece perfectly dry. We also need to strengthen our faith looking at the nation of Israel. We need to notice that we are living in the last days. The things that occur and are connected with this nation of Israel, they allow us to see and recognize the last member of the church will go behind the veil. Apostle Paul tells us about the mystery. And we read in Romans chapter 11 and verses 25 and 6. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so you might not conceive Israel has experienced the hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godliness away from Jacob. Looking at all the events that are taking place on God's time clock, we know that we are very near. When the last member of the church will be glorified, there will be a great outcry. They shall mourn for him as one mourns for only child and weep bitterly over him. As one weeps over his firstborn, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 9 and 10. And we have another proof that the church is, when it will be glorified, will be that the great voice of the great multitude, which will be heard around the world. Alleluia, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. So, brethren, let's observe the signs and not worry when the day will come. But as one of the brethren said, be ready when he comes. May the Lord God have his blessing. Amen.
Thank you.